Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Malaysia's king on Tuesday declared a nationwide state of emergency for the first time in more than half a century, and it comes amid an alarming rise of COVID-19 cases in the country, with the national tally surpassing 138,000. The emergency order came a day after the government announced the tightening of COVID-19 restrictions, placing five states and three federal territories under the movement control order again for 2 weeks. Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin stressed in his live address that the state of emergency is not a military coup and no curfew will be enforced. To help us break it down further, we're joined today by Shannon Cho, Malaysia Bureau Chief at The Straits Times. Shannon, welcome back.
Hi.
Good to have you back with us. Now, Shannon, can you tell us more about the declared state of emergency in Malaysia this week? And it's really to rein in COVID-19 infections. But share with us more about this movement control order 2.0. What's the difference with this MCO, and how does the emergency order and the MCO work in tandem?
So in layman's terms, I mean, the emergency simply means a suspension of normal rules and procedures. Mm. I mean, for example, the government has said that it can, if necessary, take over private healthcare facilities and manpower. In terms of lawmaking, the executive arm can advise the king to declare ordinances instead of going to parliament and enacting laws, the regular way. So, as you mentioned, the government has said that there won't be any martial law, there won't be curfews, there won't be tanks rolling out on the street. So normal economic and social life continues. That's the emergency. But of course, we are also going to, what people are calling MCO 2.0 right now. So some of these activities, we're talking about economic, social activities, sporting activities, they've been restricted by the MCO. That's specifically something under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act. That's what we've been using to do what is Malaysia's version of the circuit breaker.
Right.
Now, the government can make regulations like social distancing, restrictions to inter-district travel, closure of non-essential businesses, things like that. Restaurants can only do takeaway and deliveries right now. So that's all under the existing law. But so the government now wants an emergency to do things it can't do under the MCO, like taking over beds in private hospitals. We've reported that we've over 30,000 active cases now. We're overwhelmed, there's only something like 28,000, 29,000 beds in public hospitals and in quarantine centers. So if you want to increase fines and punishments for breaching MCO rules, we'd have to pass a law in parliament and get it gazetted. So this is a kind of fast track. The emergency allows the government to bypass this process and say, well, instead of 1,000 ringgit, we want to fine people 5,000 ringgit now, and we can just gazette it as and when we like. The one other important element now is that the armed forces are like an auxiliary police. They too can issue summons. They can detain people who are not obeying the law. So if we're going to have roadblocks all around the country preventing interdistrict travel, if we're going to have site inspection, making sure people aren't having private parties against the regulations and things like that, you need more manpower. There's just not enough policemen to do all that.
So Shannon, tell us, how did the public react to this announcement, and how will this continue to impact Malaysians in the weeks or months to come?
I think for the MCO, it was a case of when, not if. People weren't really surprised that we're in a second MCO now. Because when the first MCO happened, cases were in their hundreds, and now it's reached 3,000 a few times in the past week. So a stricter lockdown was expected. And I think although health authorities say, the MCO will last a maximum of 4 weeks, there are several experts that are saying that, it's going to take several months to get the caseloads down to safe levels again. Whether it means that the MCO has to be extended beyond the 4 weeks, or even if we exit the MCO, certain restrictions still have to be in place. I mean, that's something that we'll have to see as time goes by. Now, for the emergency, though, the government did try in October to have an emergency, and that came as a shocker. I mean, when I was told by my sources, we broke the story, I didn't quite believe it myself because an emergency is a big thing.
Yeah.
But when they tried again this month, people weren't so much shocked. They knew that strategy was on the table, but I think it's more bewilderment wondering whether it's necessary, because despite all these additional powers we've talked about that the government gets, general feeling, you know, we get the sense that people are saying the MCO worked last year, right? You got the cases down in, yep, a couple of months. So what's different now? Why do we think the MCO is not going to work again? And the government hasn't really, you know, kind of won over that narrative yet. People are believing that you don't need an emergency, just another MCO will do.
And what are people saying about the order, Shannon? You know, if what's transpiring in Malaysia is politically motivated or necessary from a COVID-19 perspective, I mean, there are reports of political undertones for this emergency.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's say we look at it purely in terms of the COVID infections. Then back in October, as we mentioned, cases were in the hundreds. Now it's in the thousands. You know, the number of active cases, which have surpassed the number of beds in public hospitals and quarantine centers, means that many people are being told to isolate at home. If you have mild symptoms or no symptoms, just stay at home. But that's never as good a solution as being properly quarantined. I mean, you risk infecting family members, even neighbors, or even delivery men, things like that. You know, you're never as careful, or you maybe don't know the best protocol to ensure that you don't infect other people when you're in self-quarantine. But you mentioned the political aspect, and yes, there's definitely a lot of talk that is about politics. Look, it was about politics back in October. The government said it needed to avoid, you know, the danger of a sudden election happening, or in fact, even by-election, because several lawmakers had passed away at that time, and you need to have a by-election within 60 days. So we've done several localized emergencies. You might have heard about them, one in a district in Sabah, one in Perak, just to prevent this by-election from happening. Just because, you know, they saw how the Sabah state election that happened in September, that caused people to mingle during the campaign and a huge surge of infections that happened after that, you know. So in October, yes, the government needed to pass a budget, and that's crucial not just for the government's political survival, but also to ensure public services still run, you know, and including the fight against COVID by healthcare workers and other frontliners. Today, the budget's passed. Even if there's a change of political leadership, the government will continue to function. Doctors will still be paid their salaries. Policemen will still be paid their salaries. Everything will still work. In recent days, though, several MPs have pulled their support for Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin, and it appears he's lost what was already a razor-thin majority in Parliament. So a lot of questions are being asked about why the emergency is being called now. We have a budget passed, the government will run, but it seems the Prime Minister has lost his legitimacy. And those are the questions that are being asked. Is this a way for the government, of Muhyiddin's government, to stay in power, despite the fact that he's lost his majority?
We're speaking with Shannon Cheo, Malaysia Bureau Chief at The Straits Times. So, Shannon, with Parliament now suspended, what powers will the Prime Minister and his cabinet gain? And you mentioned briefly, what does this mean for Muhyiddin Yassin's political survival?
It gives the government nearly unfettered powers, you know, as long as it can provide an ordinance, you know, which might state out several rules or laws, and the king is happy to sign it, then it becomes the rules for the country, right? It doesn't pass into law yet. It has to be approved by Parliament eventually. It'll be kind of like retrospective. And this can happen whenever Parliament finally reconvenes. So there may be a reckoning in the future, but for now, for as long as the emergency is in place, the Muhyiddin government can do pretty much whatever it wants, as long as it can convince the king that this is necessary to fight COVID, or it's necessary to keep the peace in the country. Now, what does this mean for Muhyiddin politically? It means that whether or not he has a majority, it won't be important. I mean, he won't be ousted until the emergency ends. That's what the Gazette actually says, that the existing governments, both at federal level and at state level, which existed at the point where the emergency was called, they'll be in the same position until the emergency ends. So that's up to August 1st for now. And Muhyiddin's promised to hold an election immediately after the emergency is lifted and the COVID situation is under control. But until then, he'll be in pole position to influence voters. You know, as PM, he can redirect resources. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually they do a good job in controlling this current wave, you know, they'll boost his approval. So he's really in the hot seat right now. He can do all this, again, remember, without being checked by Parliament.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for all of those updates and for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Shannon Chiu, Malaysia Bureau Chief at the Straits Times, right here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.